Welcome to the Liberty Church podcast. We hope you enjoy the message. To find out more about us as a church, head to libertychurchuk.com.
Heath and Graham have asked me to talk about the prophetic ministry. Okay, so who's ever been given a prophetic word? Excellent. Who's ever given somebody else a prophetic word? I should sit down. Okay. So this is not something that will be new to you, okay? But what I want to talk about is I want to talk about the spirit in which we prophesy, okay? Because a lot of harm has been done to a lot of people with spirit that comes in the wrong, with prophecy that comes in the wrong spirit. Yeah, I'm not going to ask you to put your hand up if you've had a really duff prophetic word given to you. You see, when I grew up, they said to me, sticks and stones may break your bones, but words will never hurt you. What a load of rubbish. Okay? It's not true, is it? There is power. Move my hand up. Take away from the aerial. I can't hear heaven now if I'm not connected to the aerial. See, there's power in your words, isn't there? Yeah? The words you speak over other people have huge power. Yeah? For better or for worse, because the power of life and death is in the tongue. Yeah, and some of us carry around wounds that have been inflicted on us by harshly, wrongly spoken words. You know, you can speak the truth in such a way that you harm someone rather than set them free. Yeah, we want to be those who, when we speak prophetically, represent Jesus, don't we? The answer to that is yes. Yeah, we want to represent Jesus. We want to represent heaven. We want to say over them what Jesus would say over them. Yeah. So I'm going to try and work with a PowerPoint. I'm looking at Rita. I'm looking at Paul. Check that out. Okay, so I will have to keep turning around to look at it because I don't know what I'm supposed to be saying till it appears. Okay. Can we prophesy over a few people? Would that be all right before we do the teaching? Okay, because here's what happens. Way too often, teaching in church is like we went to Frankie and Benny's last night for a meal, which was lovely. And when we stood outside and read the menu, who knows that reading the menu didn't feed us? Yeah. Not really. Yeah? And way too often, teaching in church is like reading the menu. Now, I've told you what could happen. Now, let's all go home and hope for the best. Okay? So this morning, we are going to read the menu. Yeah? We're going to cook the meal. And then we're going to eat it, okay? Which means prophecy this morning will not be a spectator sport. See, too much. I mean, you were made for more than watching clever, gifted, or even worse, ungifted people do their thing, haven't you? You were made to do the stuff, to use a John Wimber phrase. So this morning, you're going to get the opportunity to do something. Okay. Now, you are free and powerful people responsible for your own decisions on your own lives. So if when we get to that point, you don't want to do it, that's fine. You can sit and watch everybody else have a good meal. Okay. My responsibility is to make it accessible and safe. Okay. So I'm going to create a safe environment and I'm going to make the prophetic ministry accessible to everybody in the room. Yeah. What you then do with that is entirely up to you. Okay. But I've got two or three words for two or three people. Is that all right? Okay, so I don't like to prophesy over the band. I don't like to prophesy over the leadership. And I don't like to prophesy over the front row. Because everybody always does that, don't they? And who knows? Those guys really need to hear God. Okay? But I always worship at the back. Because I'm really interested in the back row. Okay? So, stay where you are. Okay, stay where we are. Irritatingly, I do have a word for somebody in the front row, but I'm going to do them last just to make a point. Okay, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to pick somebody out and I'm going to ask you to stand up just so that everybody can see who God's loving on. I'm going to ask the people around you if it's okay to stand with you, yeah, and I'll ask you to shut your eyes. The reason I ask you to shut your eyes is important that you connect more with heaven than you do with me, because at the end of the meeting, I'm going home. Yeah, at the end of the meeting, you get to take Jesus home with you. Okay? Because I'm hoping you brought him with you this morning. You did bring, yeah, okay. Or, okay. So this gentleman right at the back row with your arms folded, smiling, who's just stopped smiling. Okay, what's your name?
Ken.
Hello, Ken. Do you like the people around you? Okay, then let's have them stand with you and rest a hand on you. Are you okay with this, Ken? You're going to sit in the front row next week, aren't you? Yeah. Shut your eyes for me, bro. As I looked at you, I heard the words hidden rank. And you need to know that heaven has put general stars on your shoulders. Yeah, that you actually might sit in the back row, but and at times you feel like you're invisible and unseen. But you need to know that you have rank in heaven. And the important thing about rank in heaven, yeah, because there's angelic ranks, okay? And rank comes with different levels of authority. You need to know that you have rank in heaven, and while it's hidden on the earth, it's seen in heaven, yeah? And that when you pray, yeah, earth may not hear, but heaven doesn't miss a word, doesn't miss a word, doesn't miss a word. So my friend, find your secret place. You have it, you know it, yeah? You do, don't you? Oh, okay. So you know where you and God go. And you need to know that every time you pray, your prayers like incense fill the bowls in heaven that you read about in Revelation. Yeah? And you need to know that the overflow is on its way. The overflow is closer than you think it is. So don't stop, don't stop, don't stop, don't stop, don't stop. You carry hidden rank. You carry hidden rank. Yeah. Is that all right? Okay, so the people around you are just going to pray that into you. Is that all right? And we're all going to ignore you while they do that. Is that okay, guys? Okay, awesome. Okay. All right. This gentleman here, yeah, with the hoodie and the white. No, not the lady behind you. What's your name?
Charlie.
Charlie, hello, Charlie. You okay with this? You sure? It's a horrible word I've got. Are you okay standing up? Are you okay with the people around you? I can see that in the spirit. That's just okay. Do you want to stand with him and rest your hands on him? Okay. Do you want shutting your eyes? Because when you look at me, it makes me nervous. Okay. And there's something similar with you and Ken. That and yours is different. That you are there's more to you than people see, and you're a little bit like yes you are. You're a little bit like the TARDIS. You know Doctor Who. Okay, when people get to know you, they go, "Oh, it's bigger on the inside than it is on the outside." But not many people get that close. Not many people get to see that side of you. And that's all right, okay? Because not everybody gets to see your inner world. But you need to know that there is a fullness, there is a richness, and other people need to know this as well, that there is a fullness and a richness deep within you. There is like a well. And no, actually, it's not a well. Sorry, it's not a well. It's like a subterranean cave. So you've seen pictures of people who dive into the water and come up in a subterranean cave. And it's devoid of natural light, but it has unnatural light in it. It has supernatural light in it. And it comes from the life you carry within you. Yeah, it comes from the life you carry within you. So God says, have confidence to go and do new things. Have confidence to do what you've not done before. So the TARDIS gets to travel through time and space. Yeah, God wants you to go new places, not necessarily geographically. No, not necessarily geographically. But God wants you to go and do new things. Do what you haven't done before. Yeah, because the resources heaven's put within you will come to the fore and will play their part. Yeah, they'll come to the fore and they'll play their part. So, Father, we call forth His Spirit. Yeah, put it in your chest. Yeah, we call forth His Spirit and say, the earth needs what you carry. The earth needs what you carry. Yeah, you don't think you were put here just to make up numbers, do you? Yeah, you weren't an also-ran. You're not an extra. Yeah, the earth needs what you carry. The earth needs what you carry. The earth needs it. And you don't have to change your personality. Yeah, you don't have to change your personality. But don't let your personality hide what you carry. Don't do that. Don't do that. Don't do that. The earth needs what you carry. Yeah. Okay, and the guys around you are going to pray that in, if that's all right. Okay, we'll do one more. Is that all right? So, what's your name? Sophie. You're my reluctant front row person, Sophie. Okay, do you like the people next to you? Yes, of course you do. Do you want to stand up? Christine, do you want to go play? Okay. You okay with this? Awesome. Okay. Shut your eyes. You can tell the good charismatics because they shut their eyes and then they do this. And that's not a bad thing. No, that's an okay thing, all right? You can do that. You can do that. And there's stuff, Sophie, in your family line. There's stuff down through the generations in your family. And you are not a shallow person, yeah? Because when I look behind you, I see like, you know, like when you open the files in the computer, you get windows behind windows behind windows behind windows. And when I look behind you, I see generations of files and folders, as it were, that carry good things, good things, good things. And you need to know that heaven has put a divine filter between you and your family generations. Yeah, and he takes out all the rubbish, yeah, and distills all the good things down from your parents, your parents' parents, your parents' 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 parents, yeah. And good things. So everything gets filtered out. Everything gets taken away, yeah. And it's like distilled. It's like you're not drinking wine. You're drinking spirit. Yeah. It comes rich and it comes distilled and it comes heady. Yeah. You need to know that you were born into the right family at the right time in the right place in the right way. Yeah. Yeah. And yeah. Such richness back down through the generations. Yeah, and it all flows forward, okay? It all flows forward. It all flows forward. It all flows forward. Okay, you want to pray that in, guys? Okay, they'll sit down when they've finished, and I'm going to try and preach. I'm going to skip some slides, otherwise we're just not going to get where we're going. When you talk about prophecy, people think of all sorts of things. So Scripture talks about apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, evangelists, okay? And some of those, we have historically said, are the responsibility of the entire church, okay? So your church leadership almost certainly will have told you we all need to be good witnesses. We all need to be good evangelists, don't we? Yeah? We all know that one. Yeah, we're meant to be an evangelistic people. Did you know you're also meant to be an apostolic people? Yeah? It's not like there's one apostle in the church. Yeah? The purpose of an apostle is to produce apostolic people. Yeah? An apostle has the ability to go and change atmospheres and create new environments. Yeah? That's what apostolic people do. So when you go to school, yeah? When you go to work, when you stay at home with the children, yeah? When you have coffee with your neighbor, you get to be an apostolic person, yeah? Because you go with a message, you've been sent by heaven, and you get to change their world and create something new in their world. That's what apostles do, yeah? So you're meant to be an apostolic. So there are days you'll be an apostle, yeah? And there are days you'll be an evangelist, yeah? And there are days you'll be a pastor, okay? Because we're all used to caring for people we meet, aren't we? Yeah? There's life in the body. And the body looks after itself. And when this body gets hurt, it's the cells who are closest that heal the damaged ones, not the brain or the heart, and certainly not the mouth. Okay? So there are days you'll be pastoral. There are days you'll be a teacher. Yeah? Somebody will say to you, what do you think about? And you'll be able to tell them what you think and give them the reason for the hope you have within you. And you also get to be a prophetic people. Now, there are some people whose core gift will be prophecy, yeah? There are some people whose core gift will be teaching. But the entire body gets to be apostolic and gets to be prophetic and gets to be pastoral and gets to be a teacher and gets to be evangelistic. Okay, so I'm going to talk this morning about creating an apostolic people, a prophetic people. Not an apostolic people. I could do apostolic, but I've been asked to do prophetic. Okay, I'm going to talk about creating a prophetic people. I'm not going to talk about how to be a really impressive prophet, but I love really impressive prophets. You used to have to watch people like Sean Bolts to think, oh, I wish I could do that. Okay, if you have no idea who I'm talking about, Google him and watch him on YouTube. Okay, in fact, don't Google him. You get all sorts of rubbish on Google. Yeah, but find him on YouTube. Okay, but I'm interested in raising a prophetic people who at any place, in any time, in any situation, on a good day and on a bad day, in church or out of church, can go, Father, what do you want to say to this person in front of me? Yeah? You get to be good news. Okay. Now, what I'm going to talk about is the spirit in which we do that, and then we're going to talk about how we do it, and then we're all going to stand up and do it. So if you want to sneak out to the toilet, now's the time. Okay, so very quickly, what is prophecy? Listen, being prophetic doesn't make you a prophet. You don't have to go, I'm not a prophet. Okay, we've just covered that off. You're going to be a prophetic people. Prophets are basically seers. See, when you say prophet, people often think this sort of thing. So you would have thought they could have got the head in the right proportion, wouldn't you? Listen, there is a huge difference between the old covenant and the new covenant, isn't there? Don't you live under the new covenant? You're not going to go home and sacrifice a sheep in the garden because you had a bad day. Don't do that, unless it's a barbecue. All right? Prophecy is the same. Prophecy changed. God didn't change. But you see, prophecy under the old covenant worked with the old covenant. The old covenant was, you sin, who pays the price? You do. Okay? New covenant, you sin, who pays the price? Jesus. Yeah, so again, you sin, who pays the price? So why do we all hold back some punishment for ourselves? We hold back punishment for ourselves. It's kind of, I sinned, and the devil goes, you sinned. And you go, yes, I did. And then you repent, and the devil says, well, you repented last time, so you can't mean it this time. And you go, oh, perhaps I shouldn't worship. I won't pray. I'll do purgatory. Well, I don't believe do purgatory, but I'll just have to serve some time. So we distance ourselves from God. You can't get free, clean, and forgiven by distancing yourself from God. A friend of mine, Kim, she says this. She says, people often say that when you sin, you fall from grace. You're born again. You can't fall from grace. When you sin, you fall into grace. Okay? So new covenant prophecy comes not full of judgment, but full of promise. Because we're children of the promise. Okay? Right. So, the purpose of all prophecy is edify, exhort, and encourage. And I'll move on quickly because we haven't got time. Listen, by edification, when we build up, when you prophesy over somebody, they should come away going, yes. Yeah? Feeling stronger, more equipped, better able to face their day. Exhortation is to stir people up. Come on. This is who you are. This is what God said. Yeah? We stir things up. And consolation is we cheer up. You know, people have a bad day. You know, when you speak, God, see, prophecy is speaking the thoughts, feelings, and intentions of God over a person in any given place and situation. Yeah? And who knows, we have a judgmental father who sees all of your bad things and is bitterly disappointed with you. Who's utterly disillusioned with you. No. Listen, God never gets disillusioned with you because he never had any illusions in the first place. He knew exactly what it was taking on. Yeah? And he's delighted. He has no regrets. On your worst day, he has no regrets. So he told his disciples that to forgive each other 70 times 7. He's not going to do any less for you. Way too often we've used fear to motivate righteousness in people. And it never produces righteousness, it produces cover-up. Hands up all the people good at covering up their sins. I am. Yeah, bad people. Okay, now here's what Paul says about prophecy. Paul says, now I wish that you all spoke in tongues, but even more that you would prophesy. And greater is one who prophesies than one who speaks in tongues unless he interprets to the church. Listen, Paul's prayer was that I wish you could all speak in tongues, and I wish you could all prophesy. Okay? Now, way too often we've been taught that prophecy is the province of the chosen few. Hands up, the chosen few. Oh, come on. Hands up, the chosen. Yeah? You've been picked. Listen, you got born again. You know that scripture that says, when we got born again, we became a new creation. Yeah? That phrase, new creation, literally means you became a species that had never previously existed. When you got born again, humanity and the divine somehow merged, and Christ in you is the hope of glory, and you are in Christ. You know, who's in who? I don't know. Gosh, at times we're inseparable. Actually, we're always inseparable. So you can no longer go, I'm only human. Yeah, you're not. Yeah, you are not only human. You are divine. Good grief. Heaven lives within you. Heaven lives within you. So how do we start prophesying? There's one qualification for prophesying, and that is earnestly desire. Okay, so we went to a youth group, and we were doing an evening on prophecy, and we hid a £5 note in the room. Because I got it off of you, didn't I? Yeah. Because I only have five, as Christine has all the tenors. And so we hid it. So Christine had a £10 note. So we hid a £10 note in the room. We haven't done this morning. Stay where you are. Okay? You're ready. We hid a £10 note in the room. And we said, the first person to find it, or the person to find it, can keep it. And we saw some earnest desire. Yeah, they were like, let me at it. They were on the floor, looking under the chairs, looking on top of cupboards. They were everywhere. And we'd hidden it under the doormat by the front door. And this girl found it. And it was like, I've got the fiver! You know, and her friends were all pleased, and everybody else was... Yeah, who knows that God's hidden something for all of us. God hasn't hidden anything from you. He's hidden stuff for you. So that nobody steals what was made for you. Yeah? So, interestingly, this girl said something fascinating. She said, can I really keep it? And way too often in church, people go, is it really for me? They said, God doesn't do that. We didn't go give it back. Yeah? It belongs to my wife. No, we gave it away. Heaven is the same. The gifts of God are without repentance. God's determined to bless you. You're not safe from his blessing. So the thing about prophesying is you have to want to do it. And you have to get out of your chair and you have to look and you have to search and you have to inquire and you have to pray. Yeah, and then you have to have a go. Yeah, there's no way around this. At some point, you're going to have to stand in front of another human being and speak. Okay? Now, I know you've all done that. Yeah, but calling it prophecy is a challenge. So prophetic people are, we've talked about chosen few, it's not the province of the prophet to hear God's voice. Jesus said, who would hear his voice? My sheep. Hands up all the sheep. Bah, yes, quite. Okay, listen, it's your province to hear your father's voice. If you ask your father a question, he's going to answer you. And people often say, well, what we're going to do in a minute, it's a bit self-centered, David, you know, because, you know, I'm asking God. No, it's not self-centered because you're doing this for somebody else's benefit. Yeah? It's not, when you prophesy, it's not about you. It's about them and God. Yeah? It's nothing to do with you. So, your sheep know his voice. Hearing God is your spiritual birthright. And we are the priesthood of all believers. Yeah? We have been made kings and priests. Everybody, you are not so special that God chose not to do it for you. Okay? You are not that special. When you got born again, you got made a king and a priest and were given the right to hear your Heavenly Father's voice. Prophets are seers, so I'll flick through that quickly. So prophets see things. They were just some scriptures about prophets seeing things. But So some people kind of get pictures, some people get Bible verses, some people have a sense, some people have a feeling. Some people, I've worked with prophetic people who smell things. I can't do that, never done that. Who kind of just kind of, I can smell lavender, you know, and then they'll prophesy out of lavender. I'm not even sure what lavender smells like, so don't ask me to do that. But when you see something, yeah, if there's an accident in the car park and you see it happen and you get asked about it, you become a witness, don't you, to that event. And if it goes to court, you are asked to give your testimony. Okay? Now, this is really, really important. Whose testimony is prophecy? Yeah? Revelation tells us that the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. When we prophesy, we get to say what Jesus sees, not what you'd like to say. You get to say what heaven sees in their destiny and in their lives. You don't get to ride your favorite hobby horse. So, so important. So what does Jesus see? You all know Hebrews 11, the kind of hall of faith, lists all these famous people. Yeah, here's who you find in the hall of faith. You find David, who was an adulterer and a murderer. I mean, everybody goes on about his adultery, but heavens above, he killed her husband. Yeah. Sarah, who was mocking and then lied about it. God made a promise and laughed. Rahab is a prostitute. You've got a feel for Rahab, haven't you? Every time she's mentioned in Scripture, she's called Rahab the prostitute. How would you like to be known as, you know, Graham the, whatever your greatest sin ever was? Yeah? Graham the good looking. It's that's what Daryl told me. Yeah? That poor woman is known by her sin. Yeah? Let's not do that to each other. Even if it's true. Okay, so do you remember Paul on the island of wherever it was, and he got shipwrecked and he was gathering sticks for the fire and he threw the sticks in the fire and a snake came out and bit him? Do you remember that?
Yep.
Okay. And he shakes the thing off in the fire. Okay? Do shake the lies of the snake off in the fire of God, won't you? It's a good place to put that stuff. So do you know what people said when they saw him get bitten? They said, perhaps he's a murderer. He's being bitten because he was a murderer. He deserves to die. And they're waiting for him to swell up and fall over and die. Here's the problem. Paul was a murderer. Wasn't he? Paul was a murderer. At that point, Paul could have received that. Gosh, I'm a murderer. I have killed people. Maybe I do deserve this. I'm going to fall over and die. Who knows that at that point, he would have empowered the poison. Yeah? But he shook it off. Listen, evil people can speak the truth. Yeah? No, people can speak that which was true without speaking the truth. So it's true that Paul was a murderer. The truth is, and the truth is a person, remember, not a set of facts. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Okay? The truth is that Paul was forgiven and redeemed and called and no longer subject to punishment for what he had done or who he had been. Okay? So important in prophecy. So poor old Rahab. Moses was a murderer. Gideon was afraid, cynical and hiding. Cynical and hiding. Okay? And Samson had more women issues than your average pastor wants to deal with. Okay? It was kind of, Samson, go and join the church down the road, please. You know, there's a new church down the road. Go and join that one. All these people made it into God's hall of fame as people of great faith. I mean, I haven't done most of those things. I've done almost none of those things. Yep. And yet, God called them great men and women of faith. How on earth can you do that, knowing what they've done? Well, you can do that if you see more clearly their destiny than their history. You can do that if you see mercy triumphing over judgment. You can do that if you can see Calvary and everything it changed and everything it did. See, if you're an immature or carnal prophet, or you want to prophesy under the old covenant, you're just going to turn up and go, Samson, you've got women issues. Yeah, you're just going to say what is true. You are not going to speak truth. See, so as prophetic people, we have to stand in the counsel of the Lord and go, how do you see this person? Now, hear me right. All sin is wrong. All sin is always wrong and should be repented of and walked free of. So I'm not minimizing sin. But what I am saying is that the kindness of God will often lead to repentance. And who knows that most people know their stuff, don't they? Most people know their issues. We went to a prophetic conference in America, really well-known church, you would know it, and at 600 prophets from around the world. And we all sat around having dinner, and Christy and I sat on different tables. didn't do that again, you'll find out why in a minute. And because you get a bunch of prophets together and they're all telling their best stories, I'm making one up, and I'll nick somebody else's. And it's going great. On Christine's table, here's how it goes. One lady looks around the table and says, yes, here's how my prophetic gift works. I could go around the table now and tell you all your secret sins. Anybody got that gift? No, thank you, Jesus. Okay. Listen, even if you could do that, why would you say it? Sorry, that is a power play. Yeah? And it seeks to motivate by fear. Christine said the reactions around the table were really interesting. Half the table worked, roughly half the table, were, I am not partnering with that spirit. I'm not partnering with that at all. The other half were then really nice and sucky up on the basis, if I'm nice to you, you won't hurt me. Yeah. People know their stuff. They don't need some smart aleck prophet to turn up and tell them what their sin is. They know their sin. What they do need is somebody who will come and give them some hope and give them some revelation and will speak some freedom, yeah? And bring release and bring some wisdom and bring some heaven, yeah? So that they can walk free of their stuff. You see, we are not there prophetically to diagnose people's problems. We are there prophetically to bring a solution to their problems. So Ezekiel got whisked off to a valley full of dry bones. Know this story? Yeah. Okay. And so God says to Ezekiel, prophesy to the dry bones. So Ezekiel goes, stop doing your mail. Ezekiel, sorry, she wasn't doing a mail. It was Facebook. I was told I got to a quarter past. Did you lie?
No, I didn't.
Is everybody everybody's sitting there going, it's really 12, and she told him quarter past. So Ezekiel goes, you're a dry bone. You are parched. You've been dried up by the sun. You haven't been fed. You haven't been nurtured. You used to be connected to things. You're not connected to things anymore. You are disconnected. You are scattered. You are useless. You are dead. Okay? That was true about the bones. But the question is, Ezekiel, can these bones live? Ezekiel's a smart man. He says, O Lord, thou knowest, which roughly translated in the Message version means, I haven't the foggiest, this is a trick question. So, O Lord, thou knowest. Yeah. So Ezekiel wasn't there to diagnose the problem, he was there to speak forth destiny. Yeah. And the end result of his prophetic gift was a mighty army. Okay, we're not there to diagnose people's problems. We are there to kickstart them and prompt them into their destiny, which is better than they ever thought it would be. Jesus, I'm preaching well today. I've just done some of this because, yeah, that was all really good. Okay, so people say to me, that's worrying, isn't it? So people say to me, well, David, what if God shows you something, you know,
bad
about somebody, what do you do? Well, the best example I've ever got is from a great prophetic guy called Graham Cook, who's British, which is really quite nice. And and he tells this story of being invited to a church, and the church is just stalled and they're struggling and it's difficult and they're not making any progress. So Graham's invited in. So they're all mingling before the church service, and Graham sees the lead elder who's on staff and salaried talking to the number two elder who's not on staff and not salaried, you know, has a proper job. And I'm sorry. I haven't got any job at the moment. So he sees these two guys talking to each other. And God says to him, the number two guy is backstabbing the number one guy, and it's crippling the church in the spirit realm. So what do you do with that? You call out his sin, right? Yeah? You call out. What does that do to their relationship? They don't have one now. Yeah? What does it do to the church? Horrible. Insecure. So do you all know what he did? The answer's yes. Yeah, okay. So he called, should have sat in the back row. He called the two elders out. Now, do we like this man? Shall we make him the good elder or the bad elder?
I don't like that.
Well, you are the bad elder. And then he took the good elder. And he stood them back to back. Okay. Now, what do you... Speakers. Now, I have a sword. I have a real sword to do this, and I forgot to bring it. So in the absence of... Oh, I know. Sword.
So in the absence of a sword...
Okay. This is a death-wielding sharp sword. Please hold it as such. Careful, don't cut yourself. So he gave him a broom handle. That just was more fun than a broom handle. So he stood these two guys back to back in front of the entire church. Yeah, and then he said to the bad elder,
"Boo."
Said to the bad elder, "God has placed you at this man's back, at this woman's back, to guard and watch over her, because she's called by God to lead this church and take it great places. And there are people who are going to try and backstab her and trip her up. And God has placed a sword in your hand, and it's the sword of the Spirit, and you are to protect her and watch over her. And what she can't see coming, you'll see coming, and you're to fend it off. You're her guardian." This man is now crying like a baby because he knows everything that's just been prophesied over him isn't true. It's not true, is it? Yeah. Everybody watching thinks, isn't that lovely? He's so moved to protect Esther. I'd stop and think for a minute then. Yeah. So, and he's undone. You see, what's happened is he's forgotten who he is. He's forgotten his assignment. He's forgotten why he was put there. Yeah, he stopped listening to heaven and listened to, who knows, selfish ambition. Ambition's good, by the way. Selfish ambition is not. Yeah. So, you know, everybody's deeply moved. He's deeply touched. This elder is reaffirmed and now feels more courageous and brave and able to take greater risks. The church now feels a level of security it's not felt before in recent years. And this person feels a complete fraud. Yeah. But what's been spoken over him was his true destiny. Yeah. Give him a round of applause. Yeah, the flower. So over coffee, bad elder wanders over to Graham and goes, "You have no idea what I've really been doing." And Graham knows. He says, "I know exactly what you've been doing. Yeah, you've just forgotten who you are." You know. So the question was, you know, what will you wield? Will you wield the knife of a backstabber, or will you guard somebody's back with a sword of the Spirit?
That's good.
Okay. So we are going to do the promises of God and the destiny. We are going to say what Jesus sees. And we can't see what Jesus sees except by revelation from the Holy Spirit. So now we're going to do it. Want to have a go?
Yeah.
Okay. This is going to take 5 minutes. Yeah, unless you don't want to do it, in which case it's going to be over in 30 seconds. All right? So what I want you to do is, if you don't want to do this, you're free. But listen, my promise is this will be safe and accessible. You will be able to do this. Okay? Thus saith the Lord. Does that help? Okay, so stand up, move around the room, and find someone you don't know particularly well. If you end up next to your husband or wife, get counselling. Okay, has everybody who wants to do this got somebody? Okay, put your hand up if you don't have somebody and go find someone. Come on, stop avoiding Heath. Be nice to him. Okay. Has everybody got someone? Okay. All right. Okay. We are going to ask heaven. And who knows that when we ask for a fish and when we ask for bread, we're not going to get a snake or a stone. Okay? Jesus said that. So we can rely on it. It's heaven's promise. So we're going to do this in two or three stages. Okay? What I want you to do is, bearing in mind that the fruit of all prophecy is to lift up, build up, and cheer up. Okay? We're speaking the promises of God, not the threats of God. We're speaking destiny, not history. Okay? We're going to say what Jesus sees, which means you have to ask him. So, we're going to ask heaven two or three questions. This is the first question. So, however you connect with God, which for you will be. sorry. I want you to ask heaven this question. Father, will you, and listen, it'll be the first one that comes to mind. Don't overthink this and don't go looking for a better option. Okay? you're going to ask heaven this question. Yeah, Father, will you highlight one area of their world that you want to speak into? Now, that could be work, it could be church, it could be family, it could be finances, it could be all sorts of things. Okay? But ask that question, and it'll be the first thing that comes to mind. Maybe something I've said, maybe something I've not mentioned. Keep your eyes closed for me. Is there anybody not got an area of somebody's life? Everybody's got, two or three people. Okay. Here's the silly, make one up. No, seriously. Make one up. Just think, okay, I'm going to do this. Don't worry about what comes next. Just grab the first thought that comes to mind. Don't worry about have I heard heaven. Just grab the first thought. Because God will do more than you've asked or imagined. So if you just imagine something, God's in it too. Okay, now what I want you to do is I want you in your mind to craft a brief prayer of blessing over that part of their world. Yeah? What would they look like if they were really blessed in that part of their world? Yeah? So if it was finances, God, I pray that they'll be able to pay all their bills, that there'll be promotion at work, that finances will be released. A prayer of blessing. Only needs to be two or three sentences. If you're not sure what blessed would look like for them, work out what blessed would look like for you and craft that into a prayer. Only needs to be one, two sentences, three at the most. Now, what I want you to do with that prayer, I want you to take that prayer and I want you to turn it into a promise. I want you to turn it into a declaration. Yeah? So God is going to move in your finances. God is going to start to release finances to you that have been locked up. Yeah? Turn that prayer, turn that request into a promise and a declaration. So you're not going to pray it over them, you're going to speak it over them. Okay, now in a second, you're going to speak and declare that blessing over their life. Here's the question currently going through your mind. What if it's just me? That's the worry, isn't it? Okay? Let's assume worst case scenario. Let's assume it's just you and there's nothing of heaven in it at all, which is highly unlikely. Okay? The worst that's about to happen, if there's no heaven in what you're going to say, is you are going to say some nice, kind things to someone who will enjoy hearing them. I mean, that's the worst that's going to happen. Yeah? Someone's going to say something nice that came out of their own heart. You know, your world is full of people that if you did that to them, it would make their day. You know, I think you're a great mum. I think how you're raising your kids is awesome. How you deal with three kids, I've no idea. You're doing so well. That's going to make somebody's week. Yeah? That's the worst that's going to happen. The best that's going to happen is there'll be heaven's fingerprints all over it and it will release something in their world. Because there's power in your words. There's power. You know there's power in your words. It's just we have more experience of powerful bad words than powerful good words. Don't we? Well, we're about to release some powerful good words. Okay? And the person who's going to go first was the one born earliest in the year. So if you're born on January the 1st, you're in. If you're born on December 31st, you're last. Go. And listen, keep it simple. And when you're being prophesied over, shut your eyes. Don't have a conversation. Just say what God's given you. If you're receiving, close your eyes. Okay, you should think about swapping now. We'll give this another 30 seconds, by which time you'll have finished. If you draw it to a close. Okay, if you'd like to stop there, please. Okay. Who heard something that just did their soul good? Yeah? Listen, people say to me, David, you can't make God talk. You can't stop him. Creation's held together by his word. If he stopped talking, we'd all disintegrate to nothingness. Okay? And it's not about you, it's about somebody else. So take a look around the room. We're looking for the person God doesn't love or doesn't want to talk to. Don't point, it's rude. Okay? Listen, God loves your unsaved neighbours on their worst day as much as he loves you on your best and longs to speak for their edification, exhortation and comfort. And we want to be generally prophetic, so, you know, we don't want to say silly things to people. I just appealed. Okay? Listen, even if you get it wrong, don't give up. Because listen, the model we've just done, even if you get it wrong, you've said nice things to a complete stranger. Yeah? And they'll go away saying, weird but nice. Odd person but nice. Yeah? It doesn't make you a false prophet. And Heath is pointing at his wristwatch, which means I should shut up and sit down. Thank you, Jesus. Thanks, guys. You've been awesome. Well done.
Awesome. Can you give David a big round of applause? Or no applause at all? Wow. Beautiful. Hey, just keep prophesying over each other. It's good. You carry on. The worship team is scurrying. How many of, when I say this phrase, we'll just register with this. How many of you remember the good old days? And just raise your hand if you've ever used that phrase. Remember the good old days. How many of you remember the time when you lived in a street and your kids just kind of went to the neighbor's house and the house down the road, and they could play anywhere, and they'd go from, you know, 8 o'clock in the morning till 8 o'clock at night, and somebody else would parent them for you, you know, or they'd just play and you wouldn't be concerned, and you could just pop over the neighbor's house and pop in for a cup of tea. How many of you remember those days or ever a part of that? Please honest with me. I really need to see honesty here. Some of you lived as hermits, but can I ask you a question then? Why has it changed? If you lived in those times and you carried that ethos of community, of stepping into other people's worlds, of stepping into other people's lives, of going into their homes for a cup of tea, why do we live so much on our own now? We're the children of God. And so for some of you today, stepping out and doing that, for me today, stepping out and speaking to somebody else and prophesying over somebody else, when I've kind of, how many of you were like, whoa, this is a bit out of my comfort zone? Yeah, it was, I'm like, I'm sitting next to Rich. Rich goes, is this out of my comfort zone? I'm like, yeah, me too, buddy. We're doing this together. But we often talk about never knowing our neighbor, but we can remember the good old days when we used to hang out with our neighbor. The rugby internationals will come around soon, and most of the guys in this room will sit on their own watching the rugby in their home. You will. And you'll talk about it when we get to church on Sunday. Instead of gathering together in these moments, what we did today should be normal in life. Normal. Walk around. It wasn't weird. You know? I didn't find it weird. But we've weirded the things of God when it just should be normal and natural that we just walk in them. You want to see people's lives changed? This stuff, when you speak into their life, speak a prophetic word over them, word of knowledge into their life. And we prayed for healing and you just sung. You know, I loved that. We took our eyes off the issue and even the person, as much as we love you, and put our eyes on the healer. There's that song. Show me the healer. Rather than let's get concerned about the healing. Show me the healer. Jesus, I fix my eyes on you. David, I want to thank you. Thank you for being real and practical. I love practical. Don't tell me how to do it. Don't just give me a book. But let's do this thing. Let's do this thing. Now we're powerful people and we've been preaching on that. Your choice whether you want to take anything you've done today and go and do something with it. By Wednesday, most people forget the sermon in church. Haven't done a stitch with it. I'd encourage you. You know, I don't know when the podcast is coming out, so don't worry about that. But go home and think, whoa. You can't get much more of a step-by-step, simpler process. For the teacher, maybe you want it a little bit more complicated. I was good with that. I was really good with that. I was like, I get it. I understand it. I understand it. But maybe as well, you're sitting here today and you think, my gosh, I just got made to stand and speak over somebody's life and I've never even given my own life to Jesus. Wow. That must have been an experience for you. But if you don't know Jesus here today, I'd love to pray with you. My wife would love to pray with you. One of us would love to pray with you. Can I ask us just to bow our heads just in this moment? You don't have to if you don't want to. It's up to you. But if that's you today and you think, I need to know this Jesus that we've been singing about. Or actually, I know this Jesus, but I've kind of drifted a little bit. Jesus has not run away from you. He's right there. He's right there. Jesus did not kick Judas out. Judas decided. And Jesus is standing here today and he says, I love you. I've chosen you. And oh, I want you to know me. If that's you today, you think, I want a personal relationship with Jesus. Can I ask you to be brave and courageous? Guts, courage. Just lift your hand and say, that's me, Heath. I need to know Jesus. I need to know him. Or you've kind of drifted maybe in your parents' faith. You think, you know, God doesn't have grandchildren? Children. You think, I need to make a decision for myself today to know Jesus. I had to do that. If that's you today, just raise your hand, put it high, and then just drop it. It's fine. Nobody's looking around. Father, I thank you. I thank you for this morning. I thank you that you're just such a gentle, kind, loving Father who comes to instruct us and teach us. And even as you instruct us and teach us, oh, we walk out of here edified, encouraged, and released into an area that is just so normal and so natural for your children.
Thanks for joining with us today. We pray that you are challenged and encouraged by what you've heard. See you soon.